So we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and we will begin with text 22, which is just when Lord Ramachandra is about to kill Ravana. Very well. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Or should I read from where the marker was? Okay. Yes, all right. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text 22. Ramastamaha Purushada Purisharyana Kanta Samaksham Asata Parita Swavatte Tyakta Trapasya Palam Adya Jugupsitasya Yacha Mikala Iva Karto Elangya Virya. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." Is everyone understanding okay? Uh-huh. Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nachadaiva parambalam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so sinful and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramachandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apratishtam te Jagad Ahur Anishwaram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there is no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pujane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaitadharma Shivasari Gaurava Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vajkatra Vistakri Prasindra Vyavacha Pranidana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namonama Vaishnavevyo Namonama. Well, devotees, you all know the story, basically at least. It's a very dramatic story, and the whole story is very dramatic. And this is a particularly dramatic part of the story. And there are different lessons we can learn. There are different lessons that all sorts of people can learn, even those, the very gross materialists, but unfortunately generally they're not capable of learning. As Prabhupada points out here, because atheists are rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable. And this, what Ravana is doing, and he's sort of like, he is one of the founder acharyas of the materialistic line. And as Prabhupada says here, this policy of being like a real materialist and just either anti the Supreme Lord or just neglecting the Supreme Lord. So this policy of theirs is extremely dangerous. And Prabhupada says, indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Either everything just gets destroyed just very quickly, or there can even be a very slow process of deterioration. But it all ends up in ruin for the materialistic civilization. The program basically is to view this materialistic, material world, to view the material world as being just a place for enjoyment and feeling that there is no God in control, and it's just up to us to do what we feel should be done. This brings ruin. And therefore, when we look at the history of the world, we see there were a number of, at least, you could say, very powerful civilizations. But where are they now? The Greek Empire, the Roman Empire after that. And where are they now? They are simply nowhere. They just don't exist, those countries, or those cities. Countries are just, they have been, as Prabhupada would say, thrown on the rubbish heap of history. Just disposed of. And the more recently, of course, the British Empire, and before that, various other empires in Europe. What about the Mauritian Empire? The Sugar Empire? Or whatever, anyway. But the thing is, the basic point is that any civilization which adopts these principles as the foundational principles then in due course, be it quickly or slowly, but sooner or later it will happen, it will become ruined. And this applies, you know, we should be conscious. This applies on, say, the national scale for the whole country, or it's possibly even a group of countries that get together. So it applies on the very big scale, but then it applies even on the individual scale, every one of us. Every one of us, if we're not attentive in our Krishna consciousness, and particularly if we become really materialistic, then the result will be just our lives will fall apart. Just our personal lives. And this is the main problem in life. Individually and collectively. So, Nachadaivat Parambalam. This is a Vedic, some Vedic little aphorism that Prabhupada doesn't give a reference to. Nachadaivat, daivat meaning, Prabhupada translates as the transcendence or as the Lord or as the controller. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. But people don't understand that. They don't understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inescapable. Even if apparently it seems that for the time being we're escaping. But don't worry, it will catch up with you. These things will catch up with you. So, in the case of Ravana, of course, well, we'll come across it, I think, in the next few verses. Yeah, day after tomorrow, perhaps. Ravana, what he did, he thought he could kidnap Mother Sita. Mother Sita is Lakshmi. Actually, she is Mahalakshmi. She comes before Lakshmi. You know, there is a, what would you call it, like an order of importance like that. It begins with Srimati Radharani. Then it comes down next to Satyabhama and Rukmini in Dwarka. From Vrindavan to Dwarka, the next stage down is Ayodhya. There is Mother Sita. And then next step down is Vaikuntha, and there is Lakshmi. This is an order of importance and potency. So Sita Devi, well, actually Ayodhya is part of Vaikuntha as distinct from Goloka. Dwarka is part of Goloka. But Ayodhya is not part of Goloka. Ayodhya is part of Vaikuntha, but it is the highest part. And therefore what we normally refer to as Vaikuntha, where Lakshmi Narayan are the supreme, this is beneath Ayodhya. So Radharani, Satyabhama, Rukmini together, but actually Satyabhama is higher. And then Sita, and then Lakshmi. So Sita then you could say is like Mahalakshmi, the great Lakshmi. And Lakshmi Devi, of course, she's the presiding deity of opulence. We've all seen so many times pictures of Lakshmi Devi as she is depicted, right, in Hinduism. She is sitting there, and from her hands are coming coins. Yeah, like this. This is Lakshmi. Yeah, so she is the goddess of fortune, and Sita Devi means she's like supreme goddess of fortune, something like that. Actually, Radharani is supreme goddess of fortune, but definitely Sita can be taken as higher than just Lakshmi, at least a Mahalakshmi type figure. And Ravana was thinking, I can kidnap her. Even, you know, amongst the devotees, we refer to money as Lakshmi, isn't it? Oftentimes, at least. It's very common amongst the devotees to refer to money as Lakshmi. But Prabhupada made the point that even amongst the devotees, if money, Lakshmi, if money is not used in the service of the Lord, then it becomes Maya. Because Maya Devi is a further step down. She's also coming from Radharani, Maya Devi, in this world. She's also coming from Radharani. But she is just as Lord Shiva is a form of Vishnu, who is a form of Krishna, but he's contaminated through contact with material nature. So similarly, Maya Devi, who's the wife of Lord Shiva, is a form of Srimati Radharani, but contaminated. Yeah. So Prabhupada made that point, that money, when it's used in the service of Krishna, we could call it Lakshmi. It's appropriate, it's acceptable. But when money is being used just in some materialistic way for our material enjoyment, then it's no longer really Lakshmi. So, therefore, we should be very careful about how we use money. But in the case of Ravana, he thought he could steal Lakshmi, Sita, from Narayan, Lord Ram. This is what he thought. But in the end, he ended up in great trouble. Actually, in the end, he was destroyed. So therefore, we have to be very careful how we use the Lord's Lakshmi. The materialistic people are thinking, let us steal Lakshmi from Narayan. Let us take all the money we can get our hands on and use it for ourselves. But this is the program of Ravana. And Ravana met a very unpleasant end. We all know, we celebrate Rav Nomi, we celebrate Diwali not long ago, we celebrate the appearance day of Lord Nrisingadev. Lord Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakashipu. Ravana is Hiranyakashipu in his next life. So therefore we say sometimes that the appearance day of Lord Nrisingadev is the disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. Yes. It's the disappearance day. Goodbye, Hiranyakashipu. But the principle, we should understand the principle that Hiranyakashipu, or in this case we're talking about Ravana, he is like the great authority, the great example of the materialist who very specifically tried to steal Lakshmi from Narayan. Sita from Ram just directly and look at what happened to him. So anyone who's just living on the material platform, just in their little way, trying to get money in order to live independently from the Lord and enjoy life and accumulate a few material things. This whole program is the program of Ravana. And of course, we're not on the level of Ravana in terms of our material power and like that. We're nothing compared to Ravana. But if we're trying to live like that, we are following in the footsteps of Ravana. And in this way, we are becoming, people become little Ravanas, actually. This is what's going on. That's what material life means. You know, people, even devotees, may think, well, that is a bit of a drastic type of perspective to have on people, that Ravana was just so evil and aggressive, just like totally aggressive materialist and severely abusive. And me, or someone in material life, we're not like that. We don't go around stealing other men's wives. So we're not like Ravana. And we don't just smash anybody who gets in the way. And we're not that bad. So even though that's true, we're not that bad. People are definitely not that bad. Generally, some are. Some definitely are. But the great majority are not that bad. But it's just a question of degree. It's really just a question of degree. Just like Ravana is referred to here as Rakshasa. Well, anyway, Rakshapati. And generally Rakshasa is translated as cannibal. A person who eats humans. And when we hear about that, we think, oh, eating humans, oh, this is just, it's like diabolical. It's subhuman. It's just too bad. You know, I know you're all vegetarians, or even prasadarians, so it doesn't apply to any of us. But amongst the meat eaters, who are in the majority, even the meat eaters, if they hear, or you know, maybe if someone suggests, would you like to eat human flesh, then even a meat eater will think, whoa, no, this is just too extreme. But they eat the bodies of animals. So it's the same thing, but it's just a question of degree. Eating animals, eating humans, it's the same thing, eating the flesh of some innocent, some living entity. It's just a question of degree. You cannot say that eating animals and eating humans are just two totally different things. You know, even sometimes people challenge us that you, us, we are eating vegetables. They're also living beings, which is true. And you, us, we are killing living beings. Today, I don't know, but you know exactly what's on the menu, but there may be some aloo, I don't know, or some gobi, or anyway, you know, whatever's on the menu every day sort of thing. And most of it was killed. It's true. To, you know, when you eat rice, the rice is, well, not always, but often is alive. If you soak it, it'll sprout and grow, and you can then plant it, like particularly like dal, mung dal. Mung dal, whole mung dal. Then, you know, we do. We soak it, and it sprouts, and then we offer it to Krishna and eat it. But it sprouts, and you can plant it, and it'll grow. It's alive. But when we boil it, and, you know, really cook it, we kill it. We're killing. So people, meat eaters, sometimes they point that out, and it's true. We're also killing. So they say, yes, we are killing, the devotees are killing, they're killing, we're killing veggies, they're killing animals, it's just killing. So, you know, it's just killing. So in other words, what we're doing, we're the same as them, because we're killing. And it's interesting, Prabhupada agreed with that. You know, if you ever read Prabhupada giving a lecture in the Durban City Hall in South Africa in 1975, one gentleman, a Mr. Narayan Singh, very well-known man, and the family is still very close to our movement. He was a vegetarian campaigner. People must become vegetarian. He was pushing it. So Prabhupada gave the class, and then Mr. Narayan Singh asked the question, or just asked, can you please explain the value of vegetarianism as opposed to meat eating? Basically like that. And to his surprise, you know what Prabhupada said? There is no real difference because you're killing. In other words, Prabhupada could see where this man is coming from, so to speak. And Prabhupada made the point that the real thing is you must offer to the Lord. Otherwise, there's no real difference. I mean, there is a difference. But the difference is what, devotees? It's just a difference of degree. That's all. We're killing the aloos, the mung dal, the gobies, the shushus, I suppose, and the karelas, etc., etc. We're doing that. And they are killing the animals. So killing is going on, is just a question of degree. Means vegetables are much lower on the scale of the hierarchy of living entities, but they are living entities. It's not that they're not, and therefore it just doesn't matter at all. It matters. Otherwise, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if it's not offered to the Lord, then you're eating only sin. So eating humans, Ravana is a cannibal. He would actually do that. It was, for him, normal. And if you know the story, when he kidnapped Sita and they arrived at his place, then he gave Sita 1 month. 1 month. I want you to accept me willingly. Not just by force, but just accept me. Yes, here I am. You can enjoy with me. I want you to accept me willingly, and I'll give you 1 month. And if at the end of 1 month you're not willing to do that, I will eat you for breakfast. It says breakfast. And he was serious. He was actually, that was his intention. So, again, it's just a question of degree. Killing a vegetable, killing an animal, killing a human, it's just a question of degree. It's not that they are just different things and there's no relationship. There's very clear relationship. So he was trying, he kidnapped Sita, Lakshmi, thinking he could take Lakshmi from the Lord and enjoy Lakshmi independently. And when people are just living in ordinary materialistic life and getting money somehow or other, usually by working or in some cases through some business buying and selling, but when people are acquiring money, which ultimately is a type of form of Lakshmi, but then they're using it independently, then they're following in the footsteps of Ravana, literally. Not as explicit or, you know, dramatic as actually kidnapping the very person, Lakshmi Devi, but in her sort of representational form as money, that's what they're doing. So just as Ravana met, well, in English there's a saying, a sticky end means a really horrible distraction. So anyone who follows in his footsteps will also meet a similar end. Maybe not having the honor of being directly killed by the hands of the Lord, but directly or indirectly, it doesn't really make much difference. It's all going on. It's the Lord's program. So we as aspiring devotees, and all of you, you're all very nice devotees, and we know you're really trying your best to be real devotees and not just take advantage or abuse the Lord or abuse his mercy. But we really need to be very conscious of how we deal with Lakshmi. Otherwise our Lakshmi, money, will turn into Maya. And we'll also come to some unfortunate end. As Prabhupada says, these people are punished without fail. So, anyway, let us bear this in mind. It's not just money, it's everything. It's like our physical strength. We all have some physical strength. Our intellects, we all have some intelligence. We all have some possessions, and we're all in different our personal situations. As much as possible, we should try to utilize all these things for Krishna's pleasure. Yeah. And not Well, you know, Prabhupada made an interesting distinction between bhakti yoga and karma yoga, or devotional service, and karma yoga, and bhakti yogis, devotees, and karma yogis. Prabhupada said, karma yoga means that I do my duty, and in that way I maintain myself, and whatever is left over, I offer to the Lord. Basically, an idea like that. So Prabhupada said it's a principle of one for Krishna, one for me. One for Krishna, one for me. And if things become a little difficult, then Krishna, you can wait, and two for me. Yeah. Whereas bhakti yoga, devotional service, real Krishna consciousness means everything for Krishna. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. But if Krishna wants to provide something for me to carry on, then I'll accept that as his mercy. But not that it's mine. It's Krishna's, and he's giving some mercy. So that I can carry on. So, yes, so this is Lord Ram chastising Ravana, and we will continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Grantalad Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.